I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're going to spend a couple of minutes with CBS College Basketball Insider Gary Parrish, who's all over the CBS family of networks this week and is just off the CBS Sports Network set. Gary, let's start with your biggest surprise after this first full day of the tournament.
Got to be Arizona going down the way it went down. I mean, it's one thing to lose, even though you don't expect Arizona, a Pac-12 regular season champion, a Pac-12 tournament champion, with the likely number one overall pick in the NBA draft on its roster, to go down in the first round as a, you know, when it's a four seed in this NCAA tournament. But to lose the way it lost, to just get run completely off the court, you know, to lose by 21 points to a Buffalo team that's good but shouldn't be able to do that to Arizona or any other Power 5 school that's in this NCAA tournament, totally shocking. I thought Arizona had a chance to go to a Sweet 16, maybe even a Final Four if they could get past Virginia. And instead, this incredibly talented roster with at least three future NBA players on it, including DeAndre Ayton, it's done. And the Pac-12's done on March 15th. No more Pac-12 teams are still playing in the NCAA tournament.
What did John Miller have to say?
Well, afterward, you know, we ran the press conference live on CBS Sports Network, and, you know, he sounded about the way you would sound when you've got perhaps a once-in-a-lifetime roster that obviously doesn't live up to expectations, and he seemed like a guy that's been beaten down a little bit. You know, it's been a hard season for a variety of reasons. One of his best friends and his longtime assistant, Book Richardson, obviously caught up in the FBI investigations, now facing federal prison. Sean, of course, was implicated in a pay-for-play scheme by an ESPN report. And though it does seem now like that ESPN report was wrong in a variety of ways, we still know that Sean Miller was caught on a wiretap talking to Christian Dawkins, and perhaps that wiretap will someday prove that he said nothing inappropriate or is that anything that could jeopardize his job, but we don't know. That FBI investigation is ongoing, and so I think the future of Arizona basketball is very much up in the air, because even if Sean was able to survive at least immediately that ESPN story that suggested he was in a pay-for-play scheme involving DeAndre Ayton, the truth is it cost them, you know, a high-level recruit. Their recruiting class has been blown up by this cloud that's hovering, and they're losing DeAndre Ayton. They're losing Raleigh Hawkins. They're losing Alonzo Trier. They've got no recruiting class. Arizona's going to be bad next season, and Sean Miller's future, I think it's still reasonable to suggest, is very much up in the air. And given everything that I just said, Sean Miller looked like a guy who's dealing with all of that stuff. He looked like he'd been beat down and was in a little bit of a state of shock about how abruptly this season ended.
I know this is a yes or no question, which is a no-no in our business, but if you are the Arizona Athletic Department, do you keep him?
It would depend on what I know. You know, if I genuinely think that, okay, he was running a program that, yeah, had an assistant coach who was operating outside of the NCAA rule book, but he was unaware and he wasn't involved, then yes, I keep him. But if I think that this is going to be something that eventually blows up on us, and in the meantime, we can't escape the cloud of it, so it's going to hamper any sort of recruiting efforts, then I absolutely consider making a change. You know, I think there's uncertainty at Auburn right now for the same reasons. Uncertainty at USC right now for the same reasons. You know, any school that has been publicly attached to this FBI investigation, you know, the athletic directors and the presidents, they're in a weird spot. You know, we've never experienced something like this in the sport of college basketball, where the feds have document on top of document on top of document, and yet we haven't been able to see all of it yet. There's stuff that's going to come out if these cases go to trial that are going to cost more people their jobs, I'm certain. And so I tell you, it's not a good situation for the folks at Arizona or for anywhere else where this thing is still lingering. Simply put, to answer your question, I don't know if I would keep him. It would depend on what I knew as the person in charge of making that decision.
College Basketball Insider Gary Parrish, fresh off the CBS Sports Network, said he'll be there every night this week as the tournament goes from 64 down to 16 in just 4 days. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We had a bunch of the blue bloods, the higher seeds, get pushed to the limit, so challenged down the end, unlike Arizona. Which of those closing performances from the teams that survived impressed you the most?
I guess I would go with Gonzaga, as long as we're willing to call Gonzaga a national brand. I know they're not a traditional blue blood, but they have been one of the biggest brands in college basketball.
Yes.
For the West Coast Conference for the past 20 years. And so, obviously, they played for the national championship last season, and they were on the ropes this season. They were in a two-possession game, few minutes left. It looked like Greensboro was going to upset them, and then Gonzaga, you know, bam, makes a shot, creates a turnover, and they were able to pull away and win that 68-64. But there was a moment this afternoon where I thought Gonzaga was about to tap out of this NCAA tournament, and instead they got by, they advanced, and I know they didn't look good, they didn't play their best, but you talk to enough college basketball coaches, they'll tell you any lengthy NCAA tournament run outside of the ones done by teams that are just completely overwhelming. You know, 2005 or 2009, North Carolina comes to mind. 2012, Kentucky comes to mind. You're going to have one of these. You know, you're not going to get a college basketball team playing against other good college basketball teams and playing well three times in a row, four
sure.
times in a row, five times in a row, six times in a row. You got to be able to win one when you don't have your best stuff. Gonzaga didn't have its best stuff in the opening round, but they still got best UNC Greensboro, and now they've got 31 wins on the season and an opportunity to go back to the Sweet 16, if nothing else.
Absolutely. So, Gary, as you're watching all of these games, what stood out as the most incredible individual performance on Thursday?
I'll go with Rob Gray at Houston. I mean, he's somebody who's had a great season,
mm-hmm.
but because it happened in the American Athletic Conference and happened at Houston, it doesn't resonate like a Marvin Bagley season in the ACC or a DeAndre Ayton season in the Pac-12 or Devontae Graham season in the Big 12, but he was fabulous. 39 points. That in and of itself is off the charts. But, you know, when the game's tied, I believe it's 62, he raises up, knocks down a three, gives Houston a 65-62 lead. Been games tied at 65, handful of seconds left, he creates for himself. I mean, goes past three different defenders, up and under layup with 1 second left. So it's not only 39 points. It's 39 points with the last five, including the game-winning layup after creating something out of nothing. He was awesome. I think the star of the first day of the first Thursday of the NCAA tournament, and somebody who is absolutely good enough to help Houston, you know, maybe at least win one more game in this bracket.
A little bit of redemption for Kelvin Sampson after everything he's been through in college hoops. How about the coach most deserving of a raise after his performance on Thursday?
Maybe Porter Moser at Loyola Chicago because, you know, he's got that. And sometimes it's not about coaching as much as it's just your guys make plays down the stretch. So, and that's clearly what happened at Loyola Chicago. You've seen it. Miami's at the line. Lonnie Walker, one-on-one situation. If he can make both of these, then Miami's up three. And worst-case scenario is a three-pointer sends you to overtime. But more likely, you're going to foul before they even shoot the three, so you're going to be in one of those foul up three situations where where Loyola Chicago has to, you know, make the first, intentionally miss the second. Statistically, it's an improbable series of events. Instead, Lonnie Walker misses the front end of that mm-hmm. 1-1, and Loyola Chicago takes off the other way. And it's almost like Miami was just shocked that the ball didn't drop in. They weren't ready. They didn't stop the ball. And then they end up, Loyola Chicago, with a clean look at the buzzer, knocks it down. And so the Missouri Valley Conference champs, you know, move into the round of 32. And a Miami team that, yeah, was operating without its best player, Bruce Brown, who was injured midseason. But still, when you are up with about 6-7 seconds to go, you're at the free throw line shooting a 1-1. You're supposed to finish that game. Miami didn't finish that game, and what an awesome March moment. I mean, that's what this event gives us. These are the memories that people take away from this event every year, whether it's Bryce Drew at Valpo way back when or any other buzzer beater we've seen from a so-called mid-major. Loyola Chicago, they joined that list in that victory over Miami.
Gary Parrish, just off the CBS Sports Network set after a three-hour show covering everything college basketball today. And you can see him Friday, Saturday, Sunday as well. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Kentucky group that handles the bulk of the work for John Calipari, he has noted over and over and over again, they're 18 and 19-year-olds. They're literally teenagers. How close do you think this group of teenagers is to putting it all together? Because there were moments where they're a little sloppy on Thursday.
I thought that they would struggle with Davidson and maybe get beat by Davidson. I actually picked Davidson to advance in my bracket because I thought Davidson had two players in Peyton Aldridge and Kellen Grady that were, you know, as good as anybody on Kentucky's roster. Maybe not as pro prospects, but as good college players. And then Davidson, you talk to enough Atlantic 10 coaches, they'll tell you that's the toughest scout in their league because nobody plays like them. The ball movement, the execution. Davidson is terrific on the offensive end, top 20 in the country in offensive efficiency. When you were asking five freshmen to mostly chase them around, I wasn't surprised that we were in a tight game late. But Davidson couldn't make a shot down the stretch.
Yeah.
They had shots to tie. They had wide-open jumpers to take the lead. Even one from the corner hit the side of the backboard. Like, they just could not make that one shot.
They looked tired.
They looked tired. And probably because they were playing against that level athlete at every position for the first time all year. That is what you see sometimes when a school like Davidson plays a school like Kentucky. You know, the Kentucky players are a little faster than anything they've seen, a little more athletic than anything they've seen, a little taller, a little bigger, a little stronger than anything they've seen, and it can show up, and I think it clearly did in that Kentucky-Davidson game. But Kentucky advances. Give them credit. They were able to handle a well-coached team and escape with a 78-73 victory. And now, look, they get to play Buffalo in the round of 32. It makes John Calipari sound a little sillier than he already sounded silly on Sunday night when he's complaining about Kentucky's past and suggesting there must be a conspiracy against Kentucky. Amy, you know as well as I do, there is no conspiracy about Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. My bosses, our bosses, we want Kentucky around as long as possible. Kentucky's good for television business. So the idea that there'd be a conspiracy to eliminate Kentucky early, that has never made any sense. But what it really reminds us of, what happened tonight, is these brackets come out, and I'm guilty of it as well, and you start looking at people's past. And you go, ooh, this team's got a tough path to the Final Four. Wow, I can't believe what Virginia path's going to be. And what we forget is that the path isn't always the path that we suspect it's going to be, and this is a perfect example. Man, Virginia's the number one overall seed, and they're going to have to play Arizona in the Sweet 16? No, they're not. Arizona's gone. Man, Kentucky, SEC tournament champions, preseason top five team, all that talent, they're going to have to play Arizona in the round of 32? Nope. They get to play Buffalo in the round of 32. And though Buffalo looked tremendous against Arizona, with all due respect, it's still a Buffalo team that's going to be an underdog to Kentucky. And so it looks like we're headed for Virginia-Kentucky in the Sweet 16. But just as quickly as I say that, you know, Virginia will get upset or Kentucky will get upset. You never know with this event.
All right, last thing, just a couple more seconds. What's a game that you're really looking forward to on Friday?
Well, I just hope the schedule gives us the type of moments that, you know, that Thursday's schedule gave us. We had, you know, buzzer beaters. We had Trae Young in an overtime game. We had big, big upsets. And so as long as it provides those kinds of finishes, then count me in. But honestly, I want to see Michael Porter Jr. You know, he's a big name in college basketball, a projected top 5-6 pick, a guy who would have been in the conversation for number one overall if he'd have never been injured. He obviously came back for the first time in months and played in the SEC tournament, and he looked like a guy who hadn't played in months. But he's got another week of practices in now, and he tips at 9:50 p.m. Eastern on Friday night on TBS against Florida State, which has some NBA-caliber players. And so I know every scout in the NBA is going to be focused on that game, but I'd love nothing more than to see Michael Porter come out and put on a show and remind people that, yeah, Marvin Bagley has been awesome this season. DeAndre Ayton was awesome this season. But if not for injury, Michael Porter would have probably been right there with them. Talked about in the same breath when the conversation turns to the best freshman basketball players in the United States. Mm.
This time of year, you cannot throw a basketball without hitting Gary Parrish on a CBS set. So whether it's CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network, where you'll find him each night, CBS Sports HQ, or on Twitter at Gary Parrish CBS. I feel like I'm a company shill right here, Gare, but it's good to talk to you. Thank you so much for the enthusiasm and for the insight.
Amy, thanks for having me. Let's do it again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.